May the Lord help us to commence our service with hymn 754. Holy Comforter, descend, testify of Christ the Lamb. From the foe our hearts defend, and with zeal our hearts inflame. Hymn 754.
The Lord help us in reading his holy word, and I direct you to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, and we'll commence reading at verse 38 as far as chapter 14 and verse 7. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, commencing at verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, for which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe. Though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. For the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were ware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. May the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thine almighty help now, that we may know that underneath are the everlasting arms, arms of love, those almighty arms of tenderness, of strength, of power, and of holiness. And O Lord, what a mercy it is that we have the rock Christ Jesus, the word of God, the word of the Lord, which endureth forever, The truth of the Lord which endureth forever. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. O Lord, indeed we do thank thee for thy many mercies and thy great salvation. But, O Lord, thou shouldst send forth thy dear Son to be a saviour. O Lord, we are so unworthy, for how we do need thy help. Help to speak, help to hear. So, Lord, we do so pray that thou would speak with power into our souls, that thy gracious hand may be upon us. O Lord, indeed, we do pray. Grant thy mercy. O Lord, do speak with power into our souls. Say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. O Lord, do lift us up above the many things that would cast us down, and the many trials and the darkness we oft find ourselves travelling in. But, O Lord, may we put our trust in thee. For thou art God, there is none else. But even though we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with us. Thou art Emmanuel, God, with us. Our Lord, we would pray for thy gracious help now. And, O Lord, for thy good hand of grace and mercy. O Lord, do indeed cheer our hearts. We do pray by the Spirit. Do grant us that resurrection power to raise us up above these inferior things and our many fears. O Lord, do grant that word with power should come. Fear not, for I am with thee. O Lord, we do pray for thy servants that are labouring. This evening do pray for my pastor at home and Brother Jonathan in the ministry, and each of thy servants at this time. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant of thy abundant favour upon the churches, that there may be those that may truly know thee, to seek and to find. O Lord, be with those that are seeking thee, that they should find. According to thy promise, they that seek shall find. O Lord, indeed we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to be with those that are burdened over their sins, to draw them unto thee, to reveal thyself unto them. Those that are in perplexity or in trouble, that thou wouldst grant that thou wouldst be pleased to guide them and to lead them. Those that are in are cast down or are bereaved or in pain, that thou hast drawn near to comfort them, to grant thy healing, thy strengthening. O Lord, we do pray, if there be any that are unconcerned, that they may be brought to a true concern and a living knowledge of thee. Any that have gone away and have wandered, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to bring them back. O Lord, we would pray indeed that thou wouldst be pleased to bless those that have heard thy word, even this day, perhaps even for the first time. And O Lord, that may be an enduring work. It be the word of power and of grace. Oh Lord, may there be that work in us. Dave, the righteous shall hold on his way. Oh Lord, it is so needful, thy righteousness, O Lord. Thy strengthening, thy help, that we may hold on our way at such a time as this. Look in mercy, we do pray. Thou knowest the great, great needs. Those in other lands and the orphans, the fatherless, those in need of food, in need of thy word, the spiritual food. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst provide for thy one true church, especially those in affliction, in poverty, great need, or in persecution. In our own land, in the midst of much deadness and such wickedness and evil, O Lord, grant us that grace to hold fast. Oh, indeed, we need thy gracious hand, thine almighty hand. O Lord, indeed, appear. And, O Lord, indeed, we do pray. Grant thy grace and thy mercy, thine almighty hand to be upon us for good. Oh, do indeed turn back this plague of sickness and death. Oh, Lord, we do thank thee for that measure of relief in the recent days, and do pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst restrain. O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to preserve and to keep. We do pray for those that are so recently bereaved. In my own church, and do pray indeed that thou wouldst be pleased to grant thy comfort. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst be pleased to grant a deliverance in these things at this time. Look in mercy upon our government and parliament. O Lord, do indeed grant that they may turn unto thee for thy wisdom, for thy deliverance. We do pray indeed for the Trinitarian Bible Society and in the work of the translation, publication of thy holy word. O Lord, indeed we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to bless those that are labouring and those that are sending forth thy word. They may go forth to provide that which is needful. And grant, O Lord, thy rich favour and mercy. O Lord, indeed appear these many needs. O Lord, we do pray and beg for thy help now. Do need that thou would speak. Thou hast drawn near to us. Thou hast blessed the word. We're unworthy, but worthy as the lamb that was slain. We thank thee for thy goodness to us, thy many favours thou hast bestowed upon us. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. To our Lord be with our brethren at Slavery, to grant thy rich blessing and favour upon them. And with our brethren the deacons, O Lord, to grant thy special help. Grant there may be that building up, that adding on to the church, such as should be saved, and that word that goes forth with power. We do pray then these things and beg thy help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's way, Alas, what numbers do, methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? Hymn 999.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word, and we'll turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. And we'll read verses 47 to 49. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, and verses 47 to 49. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord. and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. In this part of God's holy word, we have the account of that first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. In going forth, the church in Antioch. Indeed, it was the work of the Holy Spirit that moved them to go forth. In chapter 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them." And that which the Lord has prepared, that which the Lord has called, no matter how great the storm, no matter how great the opposition, the Lord will supply every need, and his word shall not return unto him void. He shall accomplish all that he purposes. And like as the Lord who sent forth his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, he constrained them to go across to the other side. And it was not an easy passage. Darkness came. They are in the middle of the lake. The wind was contrary. Jesus was absent. He was gone into a mountain to pray. The Lord would have not seen by natural sight that which was going on, but he, being truly God, he knew, he knows all things. And the Lord came unto those disciples in the lake, walking upon the water. There was a proof that he was truly God. Reading Psalm 77, the Lord's footsteps are in the sea, his ways are not known. And the Lord came unto them. Yet he continued the rest of that journey in the boat, showing forth his sacred humanity. And there, in that union of his divine nature and his sacred humanity, they were safe. They were brought to the other side, despite the darkness, despite the opposition. So true of us in our lives, our churches. At times we come into darkness, times of opposition, times of trouble. Seems the Lord is absent, yet God is faithful. The Lord draws nigh unto us. The Lord is truly God. Yet the Lord, who is truly man, lived and died and risen again, is interceding now at the right hand of the Father for us. We're brought safely through. Now Paul, Barnabas, and this first missionary journey, and indeed the other missionary journeys we read of, there were great openings. We read of that comment in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And it will be so. We have that testimony in the Acts of the Apostles, that testimony from our Lord himself, that where there is that call to go forth, especially in the ministry of the gospel, for a church to go forth in that scriptural way, or an individual to go forth in the calling that God has called them unto. There will be much opposition. Our great door and effectual is opened. Satan will be there to oppose. There's adversaries. Satan is literally, in Hebrew, an adversary, one who opposes. Opposes the truth, opposes Christ, opposes those who follow Christ. Would seek to, as it were, deceive, destroy, frighten, scare away, turn back, turn aside, whatever. Those who would seek to come unto Jesus and would seek to follow him, to walk in his calling. But God is faithful. The Lord will not leave his sheep in Satan's hand. We may have to go through Satan's sieve. But that is used in the almighty purposes of God, not that Satan intends that it should be for our good. Quite the opposite. But all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And you find here in Acts 13 and into 14, those great openings, yet those great oppositions. I do not know what is before you, that which is laid upon your heart, that which the Lord may be calling to. And maybe those temptations, as there is much trouble, much hindrances to turn back. We see those disciples on the lake. Though the wind was contrary, though it was dark, they were kept faithful to that which the Lord had constrained them in. They didn't turn back. And the Lord came unto them and granted them that deliverance in a way that was so unlooked for. Indeed, at first they thought it was some evil spirit that was coming, and they all saw this apparition walking across the lake and feared that it was for their doom, and they'd soon be at the bottom of the sea. No, it was Jesus, and Jesus coming to deliver them, to be with them. And the Lord did not forsake Paul, Barnabas, and we read further on of Silas, Timothy, others who went forth for the call of God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But here there was, we read of the faithful preaching and testifying of the word. And there was much opposition, but there was much fruit to God's honour and glory. We see the power of God manifest in the many hearts. Those, we read here, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, according to the eternal purposes of God in election. The sovereignty of God in salvation, not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of him that showeth mercy. As we read in John's Gospel, not of the will of man, although with the power of God comes that we shall be made willing and shall be made willing in the day of his power. As many as received him, to them gave he power. Or the word also signifies right or privilege, as the translators have put in the margin. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. By the power of God. salvation. The glory must be his. But the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. There the apostles in the book of Acts and other of the godly believers called to the work. There was that divine knowledge, divinely revealed knowledge. If God be for us, who can be against us? They went forth with that great boldness, not in themselves, in their own spirit, but by the Spirit of God. May we be encouraged. As they went forth, there was much opposition, much persecution. Yet this great truth stands above all, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that work, it was not in vain. So we read in 1 Corinthians in the final chapter, chapter 15, concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. The minister of the gospel, it is not for me to know who the elect will be or how many it should be who may believe or may not believe in a particular sermon. We must leave that in the hands of God. We must leave all these things in the hands of God, knowing that in him the labour is not in vain, is his work. We read of Timothy in 1 Corinthians 16. Timothy, he worketh the works of the Lord. And thus we venture forth in hope. But knowing that that dependency, utter dependency on the Lord. Be yet the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And the sovereignty of God, as I've mentioned before, it was the very reason for the publication of the word, for the going forth. As God is sovereign, God is king, he has that authority to command the word to go forth. We do not have the power to give grace. We may earnestly desire members of our family or friends or others, they may know that grace, we speak of it, but we have not the power. All that power belongeth unto God in Christ Jesus. But we speak in hope, we pray in hope. We commit it into the hands of an all-wise and all-gracious God. We have the power of God manifest here in the hearts of those who believed, being called either out of the traditions of the Pharisees or called out of the vileness of pagan idolatry. There's the mighty hand of God. That mighty work, our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. That mighty work of redemption wrought out and finished, a finished work. And we see the mighty work in the hearts of those who believed. as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That mighty work within. I think some of us can perhaps testify that, as it were, we've said, I will not do this, we will not do that. Or have mocked those who profess the name of the Lord. But when the word, when the Lord came in power, all of those resolutions were nothing. When that time, that ordained, that appointed time came, not to propose, but to call by grace, there was the power, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Even Thomas said, I will not believe. But the Lord in his power came. And he said, my Lord and my God. So we see the power of God in the hearts of many. That power which flows from the glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. And how we do desire, do pray. We venture forth at the Lord's command, in hope that the Lord may be pleased, trusting in his almighty power, that the Lord may be pleased to turn the hearts of many. There may be a true reviving. The power of the Lord may be manifest, and manifest in our hearts and lives. We also have here in these chapters the power of the flesh, manifest in the hatred of those who did not receive the word. The Jews, who were very religious, were greatly offended. They trusted in their own righteousness and their own traditions, and they had a deep hatred of Christ and the name of Christ. There were those of the pagans too. Greatly offended. But yet, despite all, the gospel was preached. That last verse that we read in chapter 14 and verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, verse 49, despite all the commotions, the oppositions, the persecutions, the disbelief of many. Yet the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are as the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? To some, a savour of death, to others, a savour of life. What a mercy it is to know that life in Christ Jesus. May we truly seek, that we may know him whom to know is life eternal. Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold He said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, that is, to the Jews. And in doing so, they were following the command of the Lord. That was the pattern that the Lord had sent forth, that the gospel was to be first preached unto the tribes of Israel. But it was also, we read in prophecy concerning Isaiah, who hath believed our report? He was told that so many would not believe. Jeremiah, likewise, what a solemn pathway that was, and one which Jeremiah himself could not continue in, but the Lord's word was as a fire in his bones, as it were, within, that he must declare the word of the Lord. And so few took any heed other than to show their hatred and their utter disbelief. He felt perhaps like Elijah, come to the juniper bush, couldn't go on any longer, couldn't go any further, it's enough. But yet must go on. But we see here that grace that was given to Paul and Barnabas. Despite the Jews contradicting and blaspheming them, there was such a love unto the Lord, the power of the Spirit, the power of love of Christ. And had not the Lord gone this way? Had they not persecuted him first? Did they not contradict and blaspheme him? Though he is the very Son of God, God the Son, great high priest, to be shown such contempt by the earthly high priest. He who was King of Kings to be set at naught by that puppet King Herod. They spat upon him, smote him, scourged him, nailed him to a cross, offered him vinegar to drink in his thirst, came out specially to taunt and to mock as he was in agony upon the cross. But as when we consider our Lord has gone through, how light our affliction. But Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. It was the grace of God. Now we do need that grace in our present day. Not a reckless boldness. There's plenty of that around, particularly at this time. That would be reckless. Or that boldness which lacks that unction of the Spirit and of love and of humility. But may there be in our hearts, our lives, our churches, a gracious boldness to declare the word of God. And they said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing he put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Gentiles, literally the nations, heathen nations, those who are not of Israel. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth, light the Gentiles. We have that prophecy is in Isaiah 49. And it is exactly as in Acts, in prophecy of the Jews not receiving the Lord, not receiving his servant. Thou art my his elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 5 of Isaiah 49, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And Simeon, when he was waiting and watching in the temple, that's really beautiful and encouraging. Of Simeon and Anna, they waited for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting in the temple. They were waiting, not in the courts of worldliness, but in the courts of the Lord, in the place set apart for his honour and glory, in the sanctuary. That was where they were waiting, and they didn't wait in vain, and nor will you. You're waiting in the appointed place that the Lord should come, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the light of life into your heart and soul. It will not be in vain. They that seek shall find, ask and receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. They that wait on the Lord, those precious promises, rise up as wings as eagles. And Simeon, he came by the Spirit into the temple that very time. There was no perchance, it was the work of the Spirit. He must surely come. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Simeon must surely come. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him that he should not see death, for he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he took the Lord up in his arms. Simeon held the Lord in sacred humanity in his arms, yet the Lord in his divinity upheld heaven and earth. And there Simeon knew that fullness of the consolation, that peace which passeth all understanding, that joy and peace in believing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Those whom the Jews despised, well, the Lord had commanded in the Old Testament that the Jews, or the Israelites, were not to, as it were, mixed with those of the pagan idolaters of other nations. But that which was the Lord's command took on a different air, that of self-righteousness, that of despising others, even hating. But the Lord, the light of the Gentiles, the nations, and what great mercy and great grace, those nations that knew not God, the Lord in his infinite grace and mercy called them. And here we have such an example here, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Many in these towns in Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, and we read on in Lystra and Derbe, many believed. That light shone forth in their hearts and their lives. Yet there were those who were not called, rose up in great anger. There were some that at first believed with joy, were so filled with enthusiasm. We will read of that if we read further at Lystra, where through the ministry of Paul, this crippled man was healed by the power of Almighty God. And they, Paul and Barnabas, had much labour to restrain them from sacrificing unto them as gods. But how fickle they were at first, being amazed at such a thing, and were going to sacrifice to them. Having seen this undeniable miracle, they soon turned to hatred. But there was a remnant that believed. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, we read, and retort many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. There was that remnant that believed. There was the mighty power of God. That light had shone in their hearts. That light of life. I read of that in John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In him was life. In the Word, in Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The entrance of thy words giveth life. The light shineth in darkness, the true light. We read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And true, so many of those of Israel, according to the flesh, the Jews of Judah, they received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, do we see in Christ one who is so glorious, so attractive, so merciful, light, the Gentiles who are in darkness? What a relief it is in natural things if we're in darkness and then there's light. Do we see an attractiveness in Christ? One who we would desire to hear more about, desire to know? To hear in that city there were multitudes who came to hear the word of God. Well, we know that word in the parable of the sower, that the seed falls in various places. But out of a contrite heart, sorrowful heart, over sin, over failings before God. But in love, desiring to know the Lord, there's that coming. And truly that is a right coming unto him. That is a coming at the feet of Jesus, coming like that one that was, who got the issue of blood, defiled according to the law, weakened, had suffered many disappointments, gone to many physicians and of no avail, become rather worse than any better. But at length came to Jesus. Jesus came. And it was faith that revealed that if she but touched the hem of his garment, she would be made perfectly whole. The hem of the garment signifies the finished work, the righteousness of Christ. And she touched that and was made perfectly whole. And so may we, to come humbly. The hem is at the towards the bottom, and she must stoop down at the feet of Jesus, quietly, so without others knowing. But the Lord knew that virtue passed from him to her, and she was healed, made perfectly whole, saved. And Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. May we come humbly to him. He is the light of the Gentiles. Thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. There's that Syrophoenician woman. There she came humbly. She came with that, by faith, as it were, an importunity, a pressing forward, not being discouraged, but humbly. Yea, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And she received her petition. Thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Metaphorically speaking, we may feel to be very far off, as if we may be from one end of the earth to another. Seems so far away from the blessing. But I have set, the Lord himself has commanded, not man, but God. I have sent thee, Christ, to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. To even those that are far off. Certainly blind Bartimaeus was in a bad place. Jericho, the cursed place, or was even in there outside by the wayside begging. He couldn't even see. A low place indeed, but yet the Lord passed by. And when he heard it was Jesus, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Lord called him and gave him his sight. And blind Bartimaeus, he followed Jesus, giving glory to God. And if we have known and tasted that he is gracious, so must we, to follow Jesus, giving glory to God. That light of the Gentiles, that light of life, that light that brings warmth, that brings life, that is from the Word of God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The church is a candlestick. We read of that in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, and chapter 1, about the candlesticks, is the church. We have that vision of given unto Zechariah, that there's that supply through the golden pipes of that anointing oil, the Holy Spirit. Through that, the gold so often signifies that which is divine, by that divinely appointed channel, by his word. So that union between the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And that supply is by that divinely appointed channel, not seen by the world. That supply was the pipe kept that channel. And so there is that unseen supply, that unseen sustaining. But yet it is real. The world does not see, but the Lord supplies church. And that light may be held forth. Despite the persecution, despite the trouble, despite all the things that would cast us down, that would dismay us, that would tempt us, that draw us aside, there's that secret supply. Now, if we consider in another way the figure of a candlestick, the church is that candlestick, but Christ is the light. The church is to hold forth the light. We see with a candlestick and a light what is on top, the light. The Christ must have the preeminence. The light to lighten the Gentiles. As the church were to hold forth the light. That it is not the candlestick that has the preeminence. The candlestick is not the light, but is Christ. If you try to turn a candlestick upside down, that light will not go well. More than likely to go out. If you try to have the church first and Christ beneath, it must be Christ must have the preeminence. And may we as churches hold forth the light. And when the Gentiles heard this, they heard the gospel, heard that it would be preached unto them, that Christ was the light of the Gentiles, the nations. When they heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now we know there are those who, in our Lord's ministry, who seemed to believe. Outwardly, there was some form of profession, but when there was that testing came, whether it be tribulation, or that saying, they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? They were offended and walked no more. As a sifting. And certainly in the days of the apostles here, there would be much sifting through the persecution. But as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And we see likewise with the Thessalonians. knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. How wonderful the truth of the gospel, that light of salvation, the light of mercy, that light of grace, flowing from our Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice upon the cross, his great love, his resurrection power, his intercession. May the Lord grant us that grace, that we show forth his honour and his glory. And that although we live in the midst of much trouble, much difficulty, may we look straight on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And may we show forth his glory. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for the church members at 8 o'clock on Friday evening, both of those on the chapel Zoom or on Mixlr for Mr. Izzard. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Mark Seymour is expected to preach at chapel at 10:30 and 2:30. And he will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. Our closing hymn is 686. Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low, seeking only thee to know. Hymn 686.
Jesus Christ.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.